So ito sa mga paborito kong Christian song, and the part that I like very much ay yung sinabing that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world, the battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. Of course, alam natin, the wrong is still very much around sa ating mundo, and one of those wrongs is racism. And that is why we are addressing the subject ng equality ethics. Ang mga mananampalataya dapat ang buong-buo na naniniwala sa pagkakapantay-pantay ng lahat. Tiningnan natin ito last time. So we are looking at for the second time itong subject ng racism. And racism is one of the reasons for such ugliness na nakikita natin ngayon sa mundo. Look at this face of suffering. This is in Rwanda. And also, kasakop na rin ng Burundi, where there is an ongoing racial conflict between two races known as Tutsi versus Hutu. And it is during our lifetime na nangyayari ang isang genocide dyan sa Africa. At walang magawa ang mundo sa sobrang pagkapuot ng magkabilang panig na yan sa isa't isa. At ang mga bata ang lagi na lang nagiging biktima ng ganitong paglalaban ng mga lahi. Now, why do Christians believe or should believe in the equality of races? Ano man ang lahi? Alam natin ang mundo ay punong-puno, ang kasaysayan ay punong-puno ng mga labanan ng mga lahi dahil sa kulay, dahil sa lineage at sa iba't iba pang mga kadahilanan. Ang Kristiyano, I argued during the first time we addressed this, it's the Christian who should believe thoroughly in the equality of all races, and this is based on our doctrine of creation, God's creation of man. Kaya nga sinabi ko noon na huwag nating isuko itong doktrina ng creation, not only because of the expository basis ng ating paniniwala, nakabata ito sa Biblia, naniniwala tayo na ito'y salita ng Diyos, ngunit kaugnay din dito ay ang katotohanan ng pagkakapantay-pantay ng mga tao, because we believe that man, God created man in His image. Lahat ay ginawa, nilikha ng Diyos ayon sa kanyang wangis nang galing tayo sa iisang pair, Adam and Eve, and we can only surmise that Adam and Eve had all the genetic variabilities na naging diversity ng mga races natin. Hindi natin alam ang kanilang race, and I'm convinced that they had all the variabilities that later on develops into the diversity of races. Kaya masasabi natin talaga na ang mga tao, ang sangkatauhan, ang siyang masasabi natin buong isang pamilya. We can speak of the family of mankind. We cannot do that of the animal kingdom. We cannot do that of other living things. Pero ang sangkatauhan nang galing sa iisang magkatambal na si Adam and Eve, we believe. I believe in the historicity of Adam and Eve. I believe that they are authentic pair human beings, the first two human beings, and from them came all other races of men. Kaya mula sa kanila, lahat ay nandiyan na, African, Asian, and of course, Caucasian, lahat ay nanggaling sa magkatambal na ito. Kaya in a very real sense, magkakapatid tayo, magkakaiba-iba man ang mga kulay, magkakaiba-iba man ang itsura, magkakaiba-iba man ang mga lengguwahe natin, pero nanggaling tayo sa akap, sa iisang magkatambal na magulang. At kaya tingnan natin ang lahat ng lahi na talagang mga kapatid sa pagkakalikha. Now, I do not believe in the brotherhood of all men in terms of salvation. Not all men are children of God in terms of salvation. We need Christ to be saved. But in terms of creation, we are all brothers and sisters, whatever our race may be. Now, may gusto akong liwanagin an important distinction. When I speak of the equality of all races, that is not the same as to say equality of all cultures. Magkaiba po yun. Hindi ako naniniwala na magkakapantay-pantay ang mga kultura. May mga kultura na ubod ng sama. I mean, punta ka sa Africa na maraming mga liblib na lugar na gumagawa pa rin, o they still practice cannibalism, you cannot say that is just a culture equivalent to a more humane culture. Some cultures are just depraved. Take for example the experience of the father of modern missions, William Carey. Alam natin nagpunta siya sa India 1793. At isa sa mga ditnat niya rito na kultura ng mga Hindu ay sati. Ano yung sati? Widow burning. Kapag patay na yung asawang lalaki, parang wala nang saysay, mabuhay pa yung kanyang asawa, sinusunog. At kumbaga, susunugin yung asawang lalaki, kasama na yung widow na buhay pa, ay susunugin. Nakita yan ni William Carey at isinulat niya sa kanyang journal, and you will be shocked sa mga descriptions niya roon. So ang punto ko ay, so masasabi mo ba na kultura yan ng mga Hindu, igalag natin, at pantay lang yan sa kultura natin? That is not correct. I believe in the equality of all races. I do not believe in the equality of all cultures. Some cultures are just so depraved, and it is right for a more humane culture, a more civilized culture, to try to change a depraved culture. Naniniwala ako na kung kailangan baguhin ang isang masamang kultura, dapat baguhin. Hindi pantay-pantay ang mga kultura. May mga kulturang ang expression ito ng kasalanan ng tao. But I believe in the equality of all races. Ang titingnan natin ngayon ay dalawang bahagi ng kasaysayan kung saan naugnay ang mga Kristiyano na hamon ng husto ang kanilang paniniwala tungkol sa pagkakapantay-pantay ng mga lahi. At ang makikita natin dito, many Christians failed. And we need to admit that. We cannot brush that aside. Hindi natin pwedeng pagtakpan na maraming Kristiyano ang pumalya pagdating sa mga hamon ng kasaysayan na panindigan ang pagkakapantay-pantay ng mga lahi. At dalawa ang titingnan natin ngayong umaga. Una ay the slavery of Negroes. Now, hindi na tamang sabihin yan. Hindi na politically correct sa Amerika. Pag nandun kang gamitin ng salitang Negro, maasunto ka. Pero I'm using it in its historical setting. Yan ang talagang salita na ginamit doon. So, the slavery of Negroes in Europe and America, the abduction of Africans to be sold as slaves had been carried out for centuries. I think nang start yan ng 14th century, kumukuha sila ng mga mamamayan ng Africa at ipinagbibili sa iba't ibang mga lugar. Europa, Amerika, at malaki ang kita riyan. At isipin ninyong nangyayari dyan. They will abduct these Africans because they believe they are meant to be slaves. Mapapalayo sila sa kanilang pamilya, sa kanilang lupain, dadalhin sa mga banyagang lugar, at doon magiging alipin ang habang buhay kadalasan. Here is a scene in the Amistad. Morgan Freeman. Magandang panoorin yan because dinokumento yung slave trade. At talagang nakabasa ako ng mga historic documents ng mga dinala sa slave ships. At talagang ang trato sa kanila para mga hayop na sama-sama sila sa isang lugar. Mga magta-travel sa dagat ng isang buwan mahigit. At nandun lang sila nakasalaksak lahat. And it's just so cruel. It's so inhuman. At yan ang ginagawa riyan. At naging hamon yan sa mga Kristiyano. At alam niyo ba na maraming Kristiyano ang pumalya sa kanilang paniniwala? And you will be surprised at the type of Christians who justified the slavery of Negroes. Here is one of my favorite theologians, R.L. Dabney. He wrote many good number of books, including a systematic theology, which is still used as textbook, one of the textbooks na ginagamit sa mga seminaries. At maganda ang kanyang mga doktrina pagdating sa creation at iba pang bagay. Pero during the 19th century na naging discussion kung sa Presbyterian Synod ay tatanggap sila ng mga Negro leaders, ito ang kanyang naging posisyon. I oppose the entrusting of the destinies of our church in any degree, whatever, to black rulers, because that race is not trustworthy for such position. There may be a few exceptions, but thank you naman. But I do not believe I have ever seen one. Though I have no Negroes whom I both respected and loved in their proper position. Now, who that knows the Negro does not know that his is a subservient race, that he is made to follow and not to lead, that his temperament, idiosyncrasy, and social relation make him untrustworthy as a depository of power. How can you imagine a man who believes in creation, God's image in all men, will take that position? But before we condemn, remember that these are men who are children of their age. Yan yung prevailing view at ginastify nila. And this is what makes it even uglier. When the Bible is used in order to justify something which is wrong, and this is what many Christians have done. Ginagamit ang Biblia para pangatwiranan ang kanilang ginagawa. Like Old Testament laws na mayroong may kinalaman sa slavery. But we must remember the slavery of the Old Testament was something like sa ating ngayon prisoners na binibigyan ng hard labor bilang kabayaran ng kanilang krimen. Pero may panahon ng kalayaan every 7 years. And then there's the Jubilee year na the slaves in the Hebrew society were designed to be set free. Hindi ito kagaya ng slavery na ginawa sa mga Africans na karamihan sa kanilang habang buhay at nang dahil sa kanilang lahi. In the case of slavery arranged and regulated in the Old Testament, hindi ito kagaya ng slavery ng mga Africans. Isa pang malimit na maririnig na katwiran mula sa Biblia ay yung sinasabing the curse on Ham. Ham was one of the 3 sons of Noah. At alam natin na nagkasala siya, incestuous relationship with his father. At binigyan siya ng sumpa. At yung sumpa ay bumagsak sa kanyang anak na si Canaan. Sabi, then he said, this is Noah speaking, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brethren. At ang ginawa nilang assumption, si Canaan daw ay yan yung mga Africans. At dahil bumagsak sa kanila ang sumpa ng Panginoon, tama lang tanggapin na isinumpa yung kanilang lahi. And to me, this is so flimsy, you cannot prove from scriptures, from history, that Canaan is the progenitor of Africans. And even so, tandaan natin ito ay curse sa isang individual na bunga ng kasalanan ng kanyang angkan. But ganyan ang nangyari. At ang pinaka naging hamon niya sa kasaysayan ay nung sumiklab ang Civil War in America, 1861 to 1865. And the most defining battle of the Civil War was the Battle of Gettysburg. Alam natin yung Gettysburg Address ni Lincoln. Sinong nakamemorize? 4 score. And then bandang huli, sinayo dedicated to the proposition na all men are created equal. So yan yung nangyari. At alam nyo ba, noong Civil War, ang naging pagkahati ay northern states who favored the emancipation of slaves, southern states, because the southern states are marami dyan plantation, kailangan nila ng trabaho ng mga slaves, pinaglaban nila ang slavery, at nagkaroon niya ng mga aftermath. Isa sa mga aftermath niya na yung pagkakahati ng mga Baptist churches, kaya meron tayo ngayong Southern Baptist Church na convention, pinaglaban nila ang slavery. Alam niyo ba, nagbigay sila ng formal apology for their stance on the Civil War only in 2009. So, ibig sabihin, pinaglaban nila ito, 2009, saka sila nag-apologize. But isa ito sa mga consequences ng posisyon ng ilang mga Kristiyano tungkol sa slavery. But while admitting that many Christians failed in the matter of the equality of races, on the matter of the Negroes, and sa panahon ng Civil War, dapat rin natin kilalanin, nanguna rin naman ang mga Kristiyano sa pagtataguyod ng pagkakapantay-pantay ng lahat kasama ang mga Africans. Sila ang nagkampanya rin. This is William Wilberforce. William Wilberforce was a member of the British Parliament for many, many years. At isang advocacy niya ay itigil ang slave trade na nangyayari noon. Hindi lamang slave trade, kundi yung slavery itself. He was in partnership with John Newton. Hindi pa uso photograph noon. Portrait lang yan. Hindi ko alam kung ganyan talaga itsura niya. But John Newton, you know him as the author of many hymns. Especially, most popular is Amazing Grace. Alam natin ang kasaysayan ni John Newton. He was a former slave trader. Kasama siya roon. Siya yung kasama sa nag-a-abduct ng mga Africans, ipinagbibili sa Europa at sa Amerika. Kaya alam niya ang buhay na ito. Pero sa biyaya ng Diyos, siya ay iniligtas. Nakita at namulat ang kanyang isip. At kasama ni John Newton at ni William Wilberforce at iba pa, ay nagsama-sama ang kanilang pwersa mula sa politika, British Parliament, William Wilberforce, and then John Newton. And they succeeded. In 1807, Parliament abolished the slave trade. Then 1833, slavery itself was abolished in the British Empire. A few days after it was signed into law, William Wilberforce died. His mission accomplished. So, makikita natin dito, bagamat maraming Kristiyano pumalya, mga Kristiyano din naman ang mga nanguna sa kampanya laban sa pagkaalipin. In America, itong si Wilberforce at Newton ay sa Great Britain, England. Sa Amerika, mga Kristiyano rin ang nanguna. At isa sa pinakamalaking impluensya was Harriet Beecher Stowe and her novel, Uncle Tom's Cabin, with the subtitle, Life Among the Lowly. Basahin niyo yan, mura lang yan sa National Bookstore. It's a classic, it's a powerful novel about slaves. About a slave, si Uncle Tom ay the kind of slave who just accommodated, he just accepted his lot, and yet he still ended up dying violently. While another slave escaped, eh, pinapakita roon ni Beecher Stowe ang buhay ng mga alipin sa panahong iyon. Kahit pa nagpo-profess na Kristiyano yung mga masters, yan ang nangyari. But it was a powerful novel. It was one of the influences on President Abraham Lincoln that led him to the signing of the Emancipation of Slaves on January 1, 1863. Kaya makikita natin na mga Kristiyano rin ang nanguna sa kampanya laban sa pagkaalipin. At isang bagay ito na dapat nating tingnan. Ngayon, sa kasulatan, anong dapat nating makita na mga prinsipyo sa pagtrato ng mga tao na itinuturing na alipin? Well, we should be a counterculture. Ibig sabihin ng counterculture, at the time of the New Testament, merong slavery. Now, hindi agad revolutionary abolition of slavery ang na-advocate nila ng mga New Testament writers. Instead, this is what we call counterculture, which means proclaim a message that challenges. Kaya sa mensahe ng Ebanghelyo, sabi ni Paul, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, the message itself is revolutionary. Sa panahon na ang paniniwala ay may mga talagang ipinanganak na alipin. At ang sinasabi dito ni Pablo, dahil sa Ebanghelyo, dahil kay Jesucristo, wala nang ganyan. Ang ganyang mensahe, magkakaroon ng epekto sa mga alipin mismo at sa mga Panginoong may alipin. Sa mga alipin, nang dahil sa ganyang mensahe, maaring hamunin ni Pablo ang mga alipin na bagamat alipin sila at hindi nila mabago agad ang kanilang kalagayan, yet they must look beyond their master, beyond their human masters. Sabi niya ay, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So may effect sa slaves. May effect din sa masters. Masters, and he's speaking to Christian masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Now again, this is unheard of. Sabihin mo, tratuhin mo ang alipin mo ng may katarungan, that's unheard of in the ancient times. It's like saying, treat your chair with justice. Eh, property ko lang yan eh. Ba't kailangan ng justice? Pero dahil nagbago nga ang pananaw dapat ng Kristiyano, dahil meron siyang Panginoon, maging ang Christian masters, iba na rin ang trato sa kanyang slave. And then finally, the most important change is when both master and slave become Christians. In the case of Philemon, Onesimus was a runaway slave. And in those days, a runaway slave can just be killed on the spot. Pero naging Kristiyano si Onesimus, at ang bili ni Paul kay Philemon, ang dating master ni Onesimus, he departed for a while for this purpose that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. So you see the change. Now that's counterculture. Because of a message, it affects the slave, it affects the master, and it affects Christians. Isa ito sa mga nakita ng mga pagano sa mga iglesia, nagsasama-sama masters and slaves in one assembly that was unheard of. So yan ang isang hamon sa kasaysayan. The slavery of Negroes, many Christians failed, and we must not cover that up, but it was also Christians who carried the, who championed the cause of the liberty of slaves. Ang isa pang nangyari sa kasaysayan na tingnan natin ay nangyari noong Second World War. The persecution of Jews. Ang tawag ngayon ay Holocaust. Holocaust means sacrifice. The Jews became a sacrifice. Ito ay dahil sa paniniwala ni Hitler mula sa mga maling pilosopiya na nabasa niya, that the Aryan race, which is supposed to be the progenitor of Germans, is the superior race. At ang lahi na humihilang pababa raw sa mga Aryans ay ang mga Hudyo. Kaya gumawa siya ng tinawag niyang the final solution. And the final solution is the persecution of the Jews. In persecution na yun, marami sa kanila dinala sa iba't ibang mga concentration camps, and those who cannot contribute anything to the production for the war purpose ay pinatay. At naka-invento sila ng madali ang pagpatay ng maramihan, the gas chamber. And it's estimated na some 6 million Jews perished in the gas chamber. While the Jews were being arrested and persecuted, many Christians turned the other way. Again, a dismal failure for Christians. But having said that, let me also emphasize that it was also Christians who challenged Hitler and Nazism sa bagay niyan. And one of the leading men in this campaign, you often hear him from me, is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Gumawa siya ng, tinayo niya ang the Confessional Church of Germany na labanan ang mga patakaran ni Hitler. Gumawa rin siya ng isang underground seminary para din turuan ng tamang teolohiya ang mga pastor upang makita nila ang kamalian ng mga Germans. Maraming mga Kristiyano noon galit sa mga Hudyo. Ang tingin nila sa Hudyo, sila ang responsable sa pagkamatay ni Kristo. They were Christ killers. And so there was a sentiment of opposition to the Jews. Pero ito ay iwinasto ni Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he joined the resistance movement. He was arrested in 1943, and in 1945, when all was lost for the German cause, in a moment of irritation, Hitler had Bonhoeffer hanged. So he died a martyr for the cause. So yan ang nangyari. Pero balikan natin yung sentimento na galit sa mga Hudyo dahil sila ang pumatay kay Jesus. What is the teaching of scriptures? Who was responsible for Jesus' death? Acts 2:23 on Pentecost. Sabi ni Peter, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Pansin niyo yung pagkakabalanse riyan. Plan of God, pero may responsibility yung mga pumatay. And then, sino yun? Quoting from Psalm 2, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His anointed. For truly in this city were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And again, you see the balance here. Paano natin titingnan ang kamatayan ni Jesus? Well, kailangan tingnan natin ito sa punto ng plano ng Diyos. It is God's plan. Jesus died not as a shocking crime that opposed the plan of God. It was in execution of the plan of God. And yet, that does not take away the guilt of those who were responsible for His death. But who were they? Ang sinabi sa nabasa natin kanina, Jews and Gentiles represented in the death of Christ. Kaya si Herod, a Jew, Pontius Pilate, a Roman, Jews and Gentiles. Therefore, who was responsible for the death of Jesus? All mankind. Jesus died for sin. And because Jesus died for sin, we must see our own hands in the killing of Jesus. And in Jerusalem, perhaps no city arouses more passion, both for Muslims, kikita niyo yung Dome of the Rock, which is to them the one of the holiest sites in Muslim religion. Diyan daw tinuha si Muhammad patungo ng langit. But Jerusalem is holy to the Jews. And then, of course, to Christians, in a wrong way. They look at Jerusalem as a holy city. And that is wrong. Pero ganyan ang pananaw natin ng marami. But para sa atin, what will challenge ultimately the racial barriers is the gospel. Which means we believe that the gospel is for the Jews. All Israel will be saved. Ibig sabihin, meron pang hinaharap ang Israel. Kasama sila sa mission natin. Israel is no longer the special nation that it was in the Old Testament, but it is still an object of mission. It should be an object of love and compassion. But not in a way that makes us anti-Arab. Itong nangyayari sa mga dispensationalists, they are very pro-Israel, but the result is they become anti-Arab, anti-Palestinian, which is another kind of racism. That should not be the case. Para sa atin, ang Ebanghelyo ang ultimately will remove all racial barriers. And this is the challenge to the Christian church. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And finally, in the vision of John, of the judgment seat of Christ, anong nakita niya? I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. So ang nakikita natin yan, lahat, sakop saklaw ng Ebanghelyo. Walang katulad ang Ebanghelyo sa pagbuwag ng lahat ng mga pagkakaiba-iba at pagkakalaban-laban ng mga lahi. Kaya dahil para sa Kristiyano, ang Ebanghelyo ay umaabot sa lahat ng lahi, sa lahat ng wika, sa lahat ng tribo. Therefore, the Christians should be the advocate above anyone should be an advocate of the equality of all races. Hamunin natin kung meron tayong natitirang attitude of contempt for any race, dahil hindi yan dapat may puwang sa pananampalatayang Kristiyano. Or any question? Or any thought you'd like to share? Any question or any thought? Kung minsan very subtle yung mga attitude na yan, bakit malaki ang kita ng mga whitening lotion? gusto ng mga Pilipinong pumuti. Silang puti ang magandang kulay. I'm satisfied with my pigmentation. Anyone? Wala? Marian?
Pastor, gusto ko lang din po itanong, no, at saka minsan ang gusto ko ring malinawan na bakit yung mga same races, katulad natin, mga Filipino, mga kulay brown o kayumanggi tayo, bakit pag dating natin sa ibang bansa like USA, parang sila-sila na rin ang nagsisiraan or something na sa bawat isa, kumbaga sa ano yung parang mababa din ang tingin niya doon sa isa. Especially parang ang binabasihan ay yung kaantasan ng tawag dito, kaantasan ng taas ng nararating na yung aral.
Kung ibig mong sabihin ay bakit sila nagsasama-sama kapag sila nasa ibang bansa, it's natural na mag-galvanize kayo sa mga mas komportable ka. Pero when it comes to achievements, I beg to disagree na sa mga katulad ng Amerika ay hinahamak nila ang ibang mga lahi. The attitudes of many educated Americans are, I think, in terms ng race, ay they have grown their previous racism. Noon talagang malawak ang racism sa Amerika during the civil liberties movement in the early 20th century, going through the 60s. Pero more or less, among Americans, of course, there will always be racists, but among the average American, ay educated na sila pagdating sa treatment of race. And you will see African-Americans, ngayon nga, presidente na, ang isang African-American, which would be unheard of in the past. So they could achieve the highest position no longer because of race, kundi merit. And I think even Filipinos are doing well.
So bali, Pastor, ang pinag-aanuhan ngayon, bali hindi na races to races, kundi parang sa achievements na parang gano'n na nangyayari, nakikita ko.
Which should be the case. Yan ang ibig sabihin ng merit. A merit society should be based on what you are able to achieve, not based on race. So I believe in what they call meritocracy, in the sense na you achieve as you earn it. Other questions? Other thoughts? Kayong mga nakaranas makasalimuha ng ibang mga lahi, what has been your experience you want to share? Mikaya.
Further insight lang po on how the slaves were treated. I remember po kasi no elementary, when we studied history, di syempre idudul-dul sa'yo sa American history, how the slave owners treated their slaves, na talagang hiwalay yung tirahan ng mga slaves nila. Tapos minsan, buong araw pinagtatrabaho. But I didn't really understand yung kung paano sila dinala until when we went to a slave castle in Ghana, nung nandito po kami sa Africa nakatira. kahit malinis na yung mga castles and syempre puro turista, nung dinadala na kami papasok kasi ang style nila sa tour, parang ikaw yung dadaanan yung daan, yung dinaanan ng mga slaves. So kahit very welcoming na puno ng ilaw yung mga dungeon, iba pa rin yung pakiramdam na dadalhin ka pababa dun sa basement ng castle. The dungeons have no windows. So once you're there, you'll never see the light again until ilalabas ka na para isakay sa barko. Where again, nasa ilalim ka, hindi ka makakita ng liwanag. And nung pagpasok namin, may malaking butas, parang may malaking butas sa taas ng dungeon. Tinatanong namin kung para saan yun. Doon daw po pumapasok yung mga sundalo, maglalaglag lang ng food. Tapos, may nakabantay din daw doon. Pag may nag-ingay sa baba, they have the authority to just shoot. So, I was imagining, kung ako yung slave, na doon ako sa baba, tapos may magkakaguluhan, out of nowhere, since nga walang ilaw, biglang may sasabog na lang na baril. Tapos, hindi mo alam kung isa sa mga kasamahan mo or kung may family member ka ba nakasama doon, patay na pala. And you'll just find out pag time nang sumakay sa boat, which may be after months, na malalaman mo lang na, wala na, hindi ko nakasama yung, wala na yung mom or dad or sister, brother ko, kasama ko. And yung iniisip ko na, even yung modern day na Association for Cruelty Against Animals, for them, that would be cruelty to animals. What more na tao yung mga naandun? And then yung pinaka parang dramatic na part ng tour, nung dumaan na kami sa gate ng port, ang tawag pala doon ay the point of no return. It's a very small door. Siguro makukompare siya doon sa yung dinadaan ng pusa sa door. Yung parang as in tutungo ka, pagdaan, doon ka pa dadaanin, doon pa dadaanin yung mga slaves. And once you get out of that door, wala na. Parang kahit hindi ka pa nakakaalis ng bansa, you know that there's no going back. No hope nga nila. No hope in seeing their left behind na family members.
Well, thank you for sharing, Mikaya. It's a really very, very cruel and inhuman ang naging treatment sa kanila, all because they were blacks. I remember watching one episode of Amazing Race, at nandun sila sa Africa, I think, sa ganung lugar din, si tinutukoy mo, at mag-ama sila, father and daughter na African-Americans, and idinaan din sila sa ganun, and they were overcome by emotion. At least they belong to a generation that are the now, sila yung fruit ng mga dinalang slaves sa America, and they are enjoying the freedom and equality, but they were thinking of their ancestors, what they suffered through. So parang isang popular na line dun sa Inferno ni Dante Alighieri, pagpapasok na rin sa, "You who enter, give up all hope." And ganun ang nangyari sa mga slaves noon. When they come to that point of no return, you enter the ship, and kasunod na liwanag na makikita mo, slave ka na. And all because they are blacks. Other thoughts? Mayla.
Sorry, kung pwede lang ako magdagdag doon, yung dungeon na pinasok namin ay parang kasing taas ng wall na yon. It's all black dahil makakapal na bato siya. So talagang kahit konting liwanag, wala kang makita. And then, kinoconfine sila doon for months. Para silang sardinas daw. Siksikan. So kung may namatay doon, hindi yun tatanggalin until oras na ng paglabas papunta sa barko. Ang reason pala din kung bakit pinapatagal sila doon, other than siguro naghihintay pa ng ibang inabduct, is gusto nilang ang matira yung pinakamatibay pa para kumita sila ng malaki. And if there's any consolation sa mga Africans, paborito silang slave dahil matitibay talaga yung mga katawan nila. And then the reason why the door is very small, para hindi rin sila makatakbo pabalik, But anyway, maraming sundalo rin sa taas na pag pumilos yung slave, yung future slave ng pangit, ay babarilin din sila kaagad. So it's either you die here or you go to become a slave somewhere else.
Okay, thank you, Mayalat. So parang endurance test rin sa kanila kasi yung pinakamatibay sa kanila, they will get a good price for them. Any more thoughts? Ike.
Experience lang, Pastor, no? Yung medyo lighter side, ano? Kasi totoo yun na especially Asians, pag nakakita yan ng itim at saka ng puti, syempre mas papaboran yung Asian, yung puti. I'm speaking about the Westerners. Naalala ko lang kasi nung when I had the opportunity to interact with both races, lalo yung mga puti, Europeans, kinikwento ko ang kidara ngayon, twice, kasi tingin, even mga Pinoys, pag nakita natin Amerikano dyan or European, makakita ka ng Indian o ng itim, Afrikano, ang tingin sa mga itim, mababaho. Diba? That's a fact. Ano? But ako na experience ko, sabi ko nga sa training ko, and when I was in Vietnam, bumisita ako sa isang tourist spot, may dalawa akong katabing babae, Europeans, yung mga katabi ko, ang lakas ng putok. Ano? So, just a lighter side. So, talagang makikita mo na hindi talaga sufficient basis yung kulay. Now, on the other hand, ang isang point na gusto ko lang tanong, would you consider, is it right na nagkakaroon ng racism, minsan kasalanan na rin mismo ng race itself? Like for example, real life example, in my company, I'm dealing with India, America, and the Netherlands. And I placed some orders to India and to the Netherlands and the US. Yung America tsaka Netherlands, napaka-efficient. You know, very efficient. And to India, which is our main source of the materials, despite the many discussions, blah, 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 still they fail to meet the standards. So minsan, hindi mo masisisi like ako or even our customers to think na itong napaka-mediocre talaga nung mga lahing to. Ang puro talaga ng kanilang servisyo. So would you classify that as racism? Kasi sila rin naman may kasalanan yung Indians.
No, that's where the distinction I made is very useful. I believe in the equality of all races no matter what, but not equality of cultures. So yung efficiency or lack of it sa kanilang trabaho ay culture yan, hindi yan dahil sa kanilang race. Kung mabago nila yung kanilang kultura, walang dahilan na yung kanilang race ay hindi maging efficient. But because of culture, nagiging inefficient, corrupt, and these are because of culture, not because of race. So, then useful yung distinction na I believe in the equality of races, but not equality of culture. Some cultures are bad. Some cultures are corrupt at na-affect yung kanilang business processes, etc. So kung you opt for a particular source, it's not because of racism. You just acknowledge that the culture of these people in business is better than theirs. And last thoughts, Odi.
Pastor, dito po sa binabasa ko po itong Leviticus 25 sa Tagalog po. Babasahin ko lang po. No? Tungkol sa inyo mga aliping lalaki at aliping babae na maaaring mayroon ka mula sa mga bansang nasa palibot ninyo, sila ibibilhin ninyo bilang mga aliping lalaki at aliping babae. Maaari din kayong bumili mula sa mga anak ng mga dayuhan na makikipanirahan sa inyo at sa kanilang mga sambahayan na kasama ninyo na kanilang ipinanganak sa inyong lupain at sila ay magiging inyong pag-aari at sila ay inyong kukunin bilang pamana sa inyong mga anak pagkamatay ninyo upang maging pag-aari. Maiatang ninyo sa kanila ang paglilingkod magpakailanman. Ngunit sa inyong mga kamag-anak na mga anak ni Israel, ay huwag kayong mamumuno na may kabagsikan. Hindi po ba parang may double standard ng Panginoon dito?
Sa remember, these are enemy nations. At marami dyan ay product of warfare at ang kanilang magiging kahihinatnan ay katulad ng isang prisoner of war, pero sa halip na ilagay sa prison, they are slaves. But kung itutuloy mo yung mga laws on slavery, naka-regulate din dyan yung every 7 years na palayain sila unless they opt to stay with their masters. And then after the, during the Jubilee year, complete freedom for all slaves. Kumbaga parang a new beginning for all. Walang ganyang design sa slavery as practiced later in the empires and then later sa Negro slavery. So in fact, the design for slavery in the Old Testament is meant to be meant to cushion the impact ng warfare, ng debt, at ng iba pang mga bagay. It's not the kind of slavery because of racial contempt. So ibahin natin yung regulated slavery in the Old Testament as opposed to the slavery practiced in history. And the last thought, Myla.
Pastor, parang I'm trying to squeeze my mind para isipin kung ano yung mga ginagawa namin ko, ginagawa ko or natin na nagkakasala tayo sa ganitong bagay. Ang isang naiisip ko kasi, at least ay yung parang tinitingnan natin yung quality ng trabaho ng tao. And then pag nadi-disappoint tayo, parang it's very easy to just jump into, parang i-generalize na lang natin. Ay, ganyan talaga yung mga, tapos imi-mention yung race nila. And sa lower level, yung pagiging regionalistic din natin. Pero ang follow-up kong question, talaga po bang mali ko magpapaputi ng balat? Is that magpo-fall under ng kasalanan ng racism?
Ang
yung pagbabago ng ating mga katawan at ng balat and everything.
I mean, improving your body in ways that make it, let's say, more functional or more aesthetic, not wrong in itself. Pero yung gumawa ka na ng conclusion, pagputi, yun ang maganda. That will be stereotyping, which is close to racism. So ingatan natin yung ganun. At tama yung wag tayo mag-generalize. May na-encounter ka na ganitong masamang ugali ng isang lahi, tapos i-generalize natin, eh, ganyan talaga ang mga ganyang lahi. That will be unfair and sweeping conclusion. Ayaw natin gawin nila sa atin, huwag natin gawin sa kanila. At lagi natin, bilang Kristiyano, lagi natin iugnay yung mga huling talatang binasa natin. Now, we want to reach all because no Jews or Greek, no racial barriers when it comes to the reach of the gospel. So sana magsuri tayo kung may mga secret attitudes tayo na nagiging dahilan para maging racist, hamunin natin yan at ang pinakamabuting panghamon ay ang ebanghelyo. Let's close in prayer. Mga natutunan namin ukol sa mga relasyon ng mga lahi at kami mga Kristiyano ang dapat ay nangunguna sa pagtataguyod ng pagkakapantay-pantay ng mga lahi sa mundo na puno ng paglalabanan, pag-aaway, panghahamak ng dahil sa lahi, nawa'y ipakita namin na kami ay tumitindig sa katotohanan ng iyong paglilikha. We believe in creation and we believe that mankind is created in God's image. We are one family under your creation. And help us, Lord, to treat other races in a way that reflects our doctrine of creation. And more than that, we believe in the gospel. And in the gospel of Christ, there is no Jew nor Gentile. Everyone is to be reached by the gospel. And a day is coming when peoples will stand before the throne of the Lamb, praising Him, coming from all tribes, races, and tongues. And help us, Lord, to examine ourselves for any secret attitude that may reflect racism and help us to challenge it and help us to live as Christians who believe in the equality of all races. Be with us in the application of this. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.